Guy Noble. I thought you were the very best person for me to talk to about modern film composition. You're going to share with us your top three composers, and your first composer is Tom Holkenborg, aka Junkie XL.
He's sort of one of the younger guard, and he's sort of attached to one of the other people we're going to talk about, which is Hans Zimmer. And because Hans Zimmer really, well, actually, I'm probably talking about Hans Zimmer since first, because he runs what is really like a sort of a, but like the old painters like Botticelli who had studios in the back in the 1400s. So there was the main man who had the big name. And then underneath him, there were so many sort of students and assistant painters who would do a lot of the work under his direction. And that's what sort of happened with Hans Zimmer. So Tom Holkenborg is a Dutch film composer. And in fact, before that, he was a DJ. He had a big hit back in 2002 with that remix of Elvis's A Little Less Conversation. That was his version. And then he got into film, but he got into film through his sort of technological abilities in the studio with sequencing and synthesizers, working with Hans Zimmer's studio, and then moved out into his own territory doing his own films, things like Mad Max Fury Road, which was called apparently, you know, a cross between Metallica and a Wagner opera, and using those, orchestral sounds plus all the high tech sounds, and then of course films, the very popular, Divergent films, and he wrote the music for that as well. So he may not be a name that's on everyone's on lips, but he's certainly right into that, into the swinging heart of LA and film composition.
He hasn't had that typical route that you'd have to be a composer. Would that be right? He hasn't come from that sort of classical background?
Well, that's right, if you say that's the typical route. But I think all three of the people we're looking at today have very different backgrounds, and it's their background which informs the way that they use music and the way they write music. I mean, Tom Holkenborg probably, creates it certainly in the guts of a computer, probably sequences in, plays bits in, fiddles with it. And I've seen a clip of him on YouTube talking about one of his first ever attempts, and he put 100 notes, recorded them all, and then he sort of cut them all up on the old days of magnetic tape, and then he rearranged them all. And it became a completely different composition. Some of the notes were upside down, some of the notes were elongated, some of the notes were shorter and longer. But he used that as a way of technology helping him to find composition. And of course, film composition is so important because it's not just what the composer wants, it's what the director wants. It's really a director's medium.
Yes.
So everything that you hear is always approved by a director who can very well say, no, I don't like that. I wanted to do something else.
Well, look, you mentioned the film Divergent. I've got a little clip of it. Should we give it a play? Let's put it on and have a listen. Oh, that's so evocative. That was a little bit of the theme from the film Divergent by composer Tom Holkenborg. Guy, why does that particular theme work so well for that film?
Well, it's got that forward driving sort of repetitive rhythm that means you're moving somewhere. It's in a minor key, so it sort of suggests that, the characters are up against something. It's not a jaunty, happy, major romp. And I think that it has all the hallmarks of that sort of Hans Zimmer, in a sense his teacher, that sort of style of mostly sequenced music, but that repetitive sound that goes on and on. And by the way, it's interesting that the composer of Game of Thrones, Ramin Djawadi, was also part of that same Hans Zimmer studio. So when you hear the Game of Thrones theme, it has those same elements of that sort of forward, repetitive, motorhythmic, minor key sort of feel, and usually composed in a computer and not by real musicians, even though in Game of Thrones there's a cello solo and a violin solo, but they're not real.
Yes.
So it's all sequenced, yeah.
You're right. You can hear that sort of influence of Hans Zimmer. That piece we just played is clearly from, a sort of action sci-fi film, isn't it? You wouldn't, play that too much in a more traditional dramatic film. Is there much leeway for composers when they're given this task of putting together music for films?
I think it very much depends on the composer and also depends on the director. If you're looking at a relationship like Steven Spielberg and John Williams, that have done, oh, I can't remember how many films, 12, 13, 15 films together, you know, that'll be a very different conversation for an experienced director and a much less experienced composer. One of the other problems so often is that in film, directors use temp tracks. So they'll use pre-existing music and use that while they're cutting a film. And, of course, it gets into their blood, into their brain and their ear, and they think, well, I sort of want that. And that happened most particularly with 2001 with Stanley Kubrick, because he used that opening sunrise, the Alto Sprague's Alto by Richard Strauss. He used that fantastic thing with the monolith and that all the drums and everything else on the organ. And he used that knowing that to use it would be incredibly expensive, because Strauss was still very much in copyright. And then when it came to it, he actually had someone else write. Alex North wrote a sort of a version of it, which wasn't it. And then he realised, well, that's just not going to work. We just have to pay the money to get the rights for the real thing. And thank God he did.
It works so beautifully for that film, doesn't it?
So directors just have such a say. And as I said before, if they don't like it, they'll just end up pick another theme.
Guy, Hans is obviously the sort of second composer that you are going to talk about today. He's composed music for, I think, over 150 films. Is that right?
Oh, it's an enormous number. Plus TV shows like The Crown, that's his theme. And there's a real style, a real Hans Zimmer style. And once again, it's computer-driven, it's synthesized, lots of those motor rhythmic elements, mostly minor keys. But he's very good at big, sweeping themes. And he started off probably a little bit more... Well, in fact, the funny thing is where he began. He was the second keyboard player in The Buggles, who had that hit with Video Killed the Radio Star.
He wasn't! So
his background is not that sort of classical background. It's like a pop musician, obviously, you know, playing keyboards, even that's back in the 1970s. So he came from that, but he's carved out. I mean, he's probably the most successful film composer in the world at the moment, just with him and all the people who work with him and a number of major films that he's scored. But earlier on, I love the music he did for Gladiator.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Guy, because I've got a little bit of it here. Should we play it now?
Cool.
Let's play some of the music from Gladiator. Isn't that magnificent? Oh, it's just, it gives you, tingles down your spine, that piece of music. Guy, the final composer that you've brought in is a person who's actually written music for so many of my favourite films, which are, of course, some of the Wes Anderson films, and that's Alexandra Desplat.
I think Desplat, yes.
Oh, Desplat.
I would have said Desplat too, but I remember when we had it on Classic FM, though, it's Desplat.
Oh, it is actually Desplat.
Yes, so it you sort of try and make it not sound as French as it looks.
But yes.
You're right. Now, he does write a very different style. I popped in him because I think he's sort of an unsung hero. I mean, the film The Queen, with Helen Mirren, he did that. The Golden Compass, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Twilight Saga, stacks and stacks of films.
Stacks of them.
And he came from a very classical background. You can hear that in his music. So he studied, you know, trumpet and another instrument, and studied classical composition with Xenakis in Greece. So he comes from that very classical, you know, writing the music out and using the orchestra. So film directors who want to use the orchestra will go to him. But he then will use the orchestra in different ways and add in different instruments. So, for instance, in The Shape of Water, which is probably his most recent sort of big hit in terms of a film, the main theme has not only the orchestra there, but it's also got a sort of the sound of the glass harmonica, which sort of gives it a watery feeling. And on top of that is the sound of that old instrument that the Beach Boys use called the theremin, which is basically played by your hand in a sort of a electromagnetic feel. And that gives it that weird sort of sound, which, because we're talking about an alien in a bathtub, you know, seeming from another time, this crazy creature, it's all those elements in the music sort of build up the musical picture of what's happening on the screen. It's very clever.
It's very clever. I've got a little clip. Let's play this one. So this is from The Shape of Water. that's from the movie The Shape of Water. And if you haven't seen the film, you're right. You can sort of get the feel for that. It is about that sort of alien character by the conductor using those sort of unusual instruments. That works really well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But using the orchestra as the basis for that. So, yes, I suppose it's the palette. I mean, if you want orchestra, you go to someone like Alexander Desplat. Certainly, if you want big orchestra, you go to a John Williams. If you want a more contemporary sound, you know, someone like Tom Holkenberg or Raman Djawadi or Hans Zimmer. And you set the tone of it by the choice of the composer. And, of course, they bring their own style as well. So Hans Zimmer's not going to write in a completely different style. He wants to be recognised. As soon as you hear a note of it, you think, well, that's Hans Zimmer. Although I have to say that with all, you know, the Avengers you played before and all the sort of modern Marvel films, there's a sort of a style, Spider-Man, they all start to sound exactly the same as each other. And they all seem to be in D minor. And I think, which, haven't you heard this before? So, yeah.
I'm feeling bad about my Avengers choice, but I do love that piece of music so much, Guy.
It's great.
Guy, I want to play you just a very short grab before we finish. Later on in the show, we're going to be reviewing a particular film, and I want to play you a little piece of music from this film and see what you think about this. That, of course, is a little bit of the theme from The Men in Black, the original film. I think the composer was Danny Elfman, is that
Danny Elfman, I was going to say. Yeah, and once again, totally, like, you can just hear it. I love his music. He's so clever. You know, the film, the music he did for Batman and all sorts of other things, he's another one who, yeah, and all the work he did with Tim Burton on those films, it's very identifiable as Danny Elfman. And yeah, he's a fantastic composer. He would have been on my list too, but I thought he's slightly older, so I go for a few younger ones.
Yeah, no, you had, I love the people that you had on your list today, and I've really learned, a lot about some of these composers that I hadn't really thought of. You're right, I always sort of think of John Williamson and Alan Silvestri, but there's some really amazing work that these other composers are doing, you know, especially influenced by the likes of Hans Zimmer. Well, Guy, thank you so much for talking us through your sort of masters of modern movie composing. It's been wonderful to chat to you today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Louise.